We're gonna try to sync the audio up, Ryan.
Okay.
So I'm gonna count to three, and then I'm gonna clap, and then you guys just clap whenever you hear it. It just makes it a little easier for the editing on my end.
All right. So wait, you're gonna clap, and then when we hear the clap, just clap afterwards.
You're gonna clap as well when you hear my clap.
All right. So are you just gonna do like a steady clap, and then I'll sync up with yours?
It's just a one clap.
All right, so I'm gonna see how this works. My brain is not comprehending. I am functionally retarded right now. So let's give this a whirl.
Okay, so I'm gonna count down from three, or I'm gonna count up to three. Jesus Christ. I'm gonna count laterally to three. I'm gonna count to three and then clap, and then when you guys hear me say three, then you clap. Is that?
Okay, I feel you.
I'm ready.
This is going to be a great intro to the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right, one, two, three.
Welcome to episode 25 of One More Podcastle, a.k.a. the best retro gaming podcast with Castle in the title ever. My name is Eric Bailey. I promise I have all my shots, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com. Jason is in England. He is not able to join us, but we have a special guest with us, Ryan from the Retro Rampage. Ryan, introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan. I'm the co-host of Retro Rampage. We have a little YouTube show where we pretty much make giant assholes of ourselves by playing dated, archaic video games and raging horribly at them. We're actually currently up to episode 24, so we're one behind the Podcastle here, but I'm excited and thrilled to be here with the guys from One More Castle. I've been keeping up with the site for good while now. These guys are putting out some killer content, so I'm looking forward to test their retro gaming mettle.
Cool. Thanks, Ryan. And just so everyone out there knows, you can find them on YouTube at youtube.com/RetroRampageTV. Don't forget the TV or you end up with some crappy alternative. And they actually do legit good work. All they do is retro game playthroughs. They don't do any other BS, just purely gameplay. So it's really good.
Thank you, kind sir.
No problem. And Hunter's here, too.
Yeah, I'm here, too.
So, that's cool.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for those quiet ones. He's been sitting over there in silence. He's scheming.
He's definitely a schemer.
He's scheming, Brian.
You're the one who talks about having a clone, and you're definitely the one who schemes. Don't deny it.
I just play video games.
Hey,
and buy them.
I suppose we can be
on Steam.
That's true. Buying Steam games before the show.
Let's not get started on Steam sales. They just murder my bank account.
I have to not notice them. I just actively try to be as unaware as possible.
No, seriously, I just dropped $30 in 5 minutes. So I was like, this is 50% off? This one's 66% off? I don't even know what any of this means, but I'm buying it.
Don't you hate that? Like, your brain tricks itself into thinking, well, if I buy them all and they're all on sale, I can't be spending that much money, right?
And you know, it's been the topic of, you know, many comedian skits since forever. You know, the whole, like, women with shoes thing, how they buy things compulsively because they're on sale. But honestly, Steam is the perfect analogy to that. I mean, we go, oh, I've never played this game before. Screenshots look all right. Yeah, it's 50% off. Sold.
Video games, the true divider and equalizer of the genders.
Video games are to men as shoes are to women.
Quote if you me. Jam your foot into it hard enough, it'll feel great.
That depends. I mean, if you're playing some nightmarish Konami games, then yeah, you may want to forcibly insert your foot into the cartridge.
Did you just say that depends? Because that's a whole nother topic. We don't need to talk about Ryan. That's gross. I don't... That's some true hardcore gaming right there. But speaking of shoes, have you guys been playing any old video games lately or what?
Yeah, most definitely. I think Joey and I probably play Contra 3 once a day because we recently embarked on a quest to beat normal mode with no continues. And we struggled through that at first, but now that's a cakewalk. So then we were like, let's beat hard mode. Mm-hmm. So then we beat hard mode with about two continues, and for laughs, we went back and played easy, and it was almost a no-hit run. But but besides that, I've kind of been toying around with a bunch of different games. Like most retro gamers, I have more games than I know what to do with. Mm-hmm. So I kind of flip-flop between them. But I recently picked up the NES Mega Man game, so I've been playing a lot of Mega Man 2. Not so much of Mega Man 3 because Top Man is a jerk off, but yeah, I've been playing a lot of like NES and SNES titles. I also picked up just recently from one of my local retro shops Strike Gunner for the Super Nintendo, as well as Eliminate Down. I got a Genesis reproduction of. It's a really, really good Genesis shoot 'em up, as well as a repro of Glaylancer, which is...
Wait, hold on a second. What was the first one?
Eliminate Down.
Mega Man 2 was the first one he said, Hunter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the very first one.
No.
It's a pretty good game.
The Bailey's just being that guy.
That's me.
That guy.
But no, yeah, because I have a soft spot for shoot 'em up games. We did a video on...
This is a shoot 'em up? Never mind.
Yeah, we did a video on Lords of Thunder for the Turbo Duo, and that game is just absolutely incredible. Like, I'm one of those maniac kids that plays, like, bullet hell games and stuff, so don't mind me. I'm just, you know,
well, did you see
busy having absurd reaction times.
There was a crazy new freeware retro-style game that released in Japan. Did you see that? It's called Infinos.
No, I have not.
All right. I will link it to you on Twitter here in a moment. And Hunter, you go ahead while I'm doing this.
Well, speaking of Contra, I beat Super C.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So... what was so difficult about the game?
It's just that one annoying part with the ceiling is dropping and there's those bubble enemies that hone in after you.
Oh, that wasn't...
You can kill those bubbles until they stop spawning.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's just me then. Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah, because actually, before we embarked on our Contra 3... quest, we did a three rest run of Super C. We didn't use the code and we just beat it, no continues.
Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, because even the end boss was like four shots from my fire gun and it was dead.
Oh yeah, dude, like in Contra 1 you ignore the flame weapon, it's worthless. In Super C, that thing is a monster. It's just an unrelenting powerhouse of death and destruction.
Maybe, well, in all of them, the spread gun is way too overpowered.
The spread gun.
Can literally auto-fire that gun throughout the entire game.
Well, do you know, like, the weapon switch trick in Contra 3, where if you switch between your weapons, you can launch, like, six crush missiles?
Yeah.
That shit's overpowered. We, in a run we did yesterday, actually, we both had double crush missiles and just... we just walked. We walked half the game, like, no problem.
It just makes me wonder, like, because, I mean, growing up, these games were impossible.
Oh, yeah. They were murderous.
And, yeah, but now it's like this, it's like, and Super C is a perfect example. The only time I actually died in Super C was when the ceiling was falling.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was going to happen.
Well,
and I was like,
that
that's
the
a cheap death.
Hardest part of the game.
It was a cheap death, man. That's not good programming. That's a cheap death.
Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah, because the ceiling's falling and you've got the Ridley Scotts spawning behind you off screen. So it's like you got to take care of them. Then you got the bubbles that spawn in the ceiling and stuff. I mean, it's a real pain. But the flame gun is good for that because you can kill them through the walls because it breaks apart into the four separate shots.
Yeah.
Sounds like good times.
I just need to go back and play Super C, I guess.
And you know what's strange? I've noticed, like, the games that were incredibly difficult when I was younger, I can now beat with ease. But some of the games that were, like, pants on head easy when I was younger, I now, like, struggle horribly with. It's like, how am I having a hard time with Elmo's Letter Adventure? I don't understand this.
Words are hard. What? But wait a second. What's so easy about having your pants on your head? That strikes me as being difficult.
Well, that's more directed at, like, the person playing it. You know, it's just like it's so easy that you can just be like,
you can beat it with your pants on your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
I'm gonna start a new video series now. Pants on head runs.
Looking forward to it.
Oh yeah.
Anything else, Hunter?
No. I've been playing Phantasy Star Online for the Dreamcast.
Oh, beautiful. A man after my own heart.
I can't stand it.
Really?
I can't stand it. I've played every single Phantasy Star game that's ever been released, and it's a series of games that I really want to like for whatever reason. Either it's because it was the Sega equivalent to Final Fantasy, or they all suck. They're all so bad.
I will agree that the Genesis RPG Phantasy Star games, they're a mediocre attempt at best. I mean, yeah, it's got all of the role-playing tropes you can come to expect in an RPG, but it's, you know, the sci-fi setting is a little different, but
what attracted me to it was the sci-fi setting.
Yeah. But Phantasy Star Online was actually the one that I actually liked, and I never even played it online. I liked the single player. I actually liked the fact that it was sort of like set up like an MMO. But yeah, I actually enjoyed that one. But I played that on the GameCube before I played the Dreamcast version.
It's one of those, I'll play it for a week and I'll be like, this is garbage. I can't play this. None of this makes any sense. And then I'll leave it alone for a month. And I'll come back and be like, okay, I'm a little older. I'm a little wiser now. Maybe the game's a little better.
Maybe I can find some enjoyment in this.
No, and like every time I play it, it's like, why aren't you as good as Final Fantasy? Why can't you be as good? Why can't you just copy Final Fantasy and make it a sci-fi environment? Why can't you do that? Why?
It's a good question.
And that also is a testament to the things that Final Fantasy does right, because they've always managed to blend like standard high fantasy with science fiction. You know, you've got like, you know, swords and armor and shit, but then you're flying to the moon and you're fighting inside a giant mech. You know, I mean, they always had a pretty decent blend between the two worlds, you know. Mm-hmm. And now Tetsuya Nomura just throws as many zippers and belts onto characters as he can, and that's what we get for Final Fantasy.
A bag of holding. That's what Final Fantasy is, a bag of holding.
A bag of holding. That's all you need.
Bailey, you want to talk about your Dragon Warrior 3?
That is indeed what I have been playing. So those on Twitter have been at the mercy of my relentless, boring tweets about my playthrough of Dragon Warrior 3. But I'm making good progress.
Well, when I was reading them, you're like, oh, I'm going through the pyramid. I'm like, I didn't even know there was a Dragon Warrior 3.
Yeah, and it's great because I've never gotten this far. Like, I've played it before, but never bothered to actually beat it. And after years and years of hearing, dude, it's the best one. Some people like it better than 4. I was like, okay, fine, I'll play it. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. There's been one or two annoying parts, and I won't harp on those tonight. I can say it's a positive experience, but
refer to his Twitter feed.
Yeah, you'll hear about it. But yeah, I can affirm that it is a really solid game, and there is a pyramid. And I'm
there is.
I'm trying.
That you fell off of.
Yes, and accidentally.
Now to me, Dragon Warrior is like the one RPG series that I really can't get into.
I've heard that too.
And you know what? I can trace it down to one simple mechanic. The fact that you can't just press a button to interact with stuff, you have to like open the menu and go to like talk, search. Oh, it just irks me.
Well, I will say it's not as bad as the original Dragon Warrior game where you had to use a menu function to go up or down stairs. That was awful. That was...
Oh.
Wow.
Listen, Joe, I gotta tell you, that sounds awful.
Yep. Yep. So I'm very grateful they improved that for the sequels. And not to plug my own stuff, but on NintendoLegend.com, I recently reviewed Dragon Warrior 2, so you can get a better feel of what I think of some of the mechanics throughout the franchise. And I look forward to reviewing 3 when I'm done. Whether I have a day left or a few weeks, we'll see.
Yeah, I thought it was funny because I think it was the last one I read anyway, because you were like, oh, I'm curious as to what people think about this game. Would you rate it as a 5 out of 5 or 4.5 out of 5? And I'm like, I've got 2 choices of great or so close to great, it doesn't matter. Like, come on, man.
That's the people who are like, great game or greatest game?
I mean,
it's like, well, you put it that way.
You could have said what you wanted, because I had some people reply back. And one guy's like, no, I give it 0. Another guy's like, I've never played it. I don't want to. And I was like, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, but I don't listen to tweets that Jason throws out.
Oh, we can make fun of him because he's not here. That is wonderful.
Exactly.
Ba-boom.
Dig it up. So does Ryan know about the new guy challenge?
No, I don't think he does, unless if you send him an email.
Is it like the Pepsi challenge?
No, it's not. And we try to keep it a secret until now. But are you ready for the new guy challenge, Ryan?
Well, I had no previous knowledge of it, so I guess I'm as ready as I could possibly be.
Excellent, and that was by design. But here's how it works. I'm going to ask you a retro gaming trivia question. If you get it right, congratulations. You win the New Guy Challenge. If you get it wrong, you have to pay me $20 and give Hunter $20.
All right. So just, you know, if I get it wrong, give me your addresses so I can send the Monopoly money your way.
Exactly. That. Hey, no. You got to PayPal that.
You can't PayPal Monopoly money. I've tried.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, they actually they have a strict policy against that.
That would be funny, though, the PayPal edition of Monopoly. That'd be scary. All right, here it is, Ryan. What NES cartridge am I holding right now?
Wow. Really?
Yep.
Dragon Warrior 3.
No. I'm afraid not. All right, Ryan, you owe me $20. Good luck.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? The door's right there. I'll see myself out.
Well, before you go, if you want to, we do have a listener email discussion question we could talk about if you guys are ready for it.
Ooh, can I read the email?
No.
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 If you could read the email through the window behind me, I'd be creeped out and I still wouldn't let you. But it goes like this. This is a funny one. Hello, gentlemen. I am a robot. I live in a penal colony 5,000 light years away from Earth. I mine silver space ore day and night. But once a week, I am allowed to listen to 1 hour of any entertainment I choose. And it just so happens that I stumbled upon your podcast 1 week and instantly was hooked. If I had a humor circuit, it would surely have been fried by now. I have a question. Do any of you like robot games or games with robots in them? Have a logical day. The Time Puncher. P.S. I think that Hunter is a clone now, as evidenced by his line, "This is my first episode," in episode 22. Just a heads up.
See, I thought you put that.
No, that is not me.
I was like, why did you put that in the email?
No, that was listener observed. Well done.
Yeah, good work.
Somebody's paying attention.
So, robot games, eh?
Robotron.
Very nice.
Mega Man games?
Nice. That was the only one that really came to mind. But then again, you're fighting robots, so that's not fair to a robot. There was a...
Well...
Hold on.
He's just going to have to accept it.
No.
Because what came to my mind was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games on NES.
Oh, yeah. The Foot Clan.
The Foot Clan, yeah.
Yeah.
So if those games count, then totally. I like robot games.
I would say Metal Warriors for the Super Nintendo. Nice little LucasArts title. Big Mechs. It was a fun shooter.
There was a really cool beat 'em up for the SNES. What was it called? You got to pick between like three different robots or androids or...
I know what you're talking about, but the name escapes me.
Didn't you bring a robot beat-em-up to the showdown a few weeks ago?
Yeah, Cyborg Justice.
That's it. Cyborg Justice.
That's a great game.
How about Capcom's Disney's Rescue Rangers on NES with the robot dogs?
That's a stretch, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Ninja Warriors.
Ooh,
that's what it's called. Ninja Warriors. It was a side-scrolling beat-em-up for Super NES.
Ding.
Do
the RoboCop games count?
Well, sure.
I guess.
Okay. Then, yeah.
Well,
RoboCop himself. Is he a robot?
He's more of an android.
Okay, well, if you want to truly cover it, you'll have to go RoboCop versus the Terminator on Super Nintendo. Terminator's definitely the robot.
Yeah.
Rocket Knight Adventures has a good deal of robotic enemies and such in that game, so I'd say that counts.
All right. How about Sinistar?
Sinistar.
Is that a robot? What is that?
No, that's a Sinistar. Yeah.
Run, coward! Run!
One cannot define the Sinistar.
Yeah, Robotron.
I feel like there's probably like 300 robot games and we can only think of 8 if a gun was to our heads, you know?
Well, I mean, because then you start getting into the context of, you know, are they really robots? Or because, like, you know, Cyborg Justice, those are robots, you know?
Yep.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
Ninja Warriors, they're more androids, like humans with...
And then that's the other thing. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, and is it going to be a robotic line that's being drawn, or is it like a human line? You know, it gets...
True. It makes a big difference, you know. How about Mule?
Oh,
totally.
The Mules are robots.
So.
Yeah.
What about Bomberman? Are they robots?
Actually, funny you mention that, because the first Bomberman game is about Bomberman the robot trying to reach the surface to become human. Good call. That is an excellent choice.
Nice, nice.
Wow.
I'm done. I'm done for the show. That's all I got.
All right. That's good enough for me. I love the Bomberman series. So I'm just going to quickly add King of the Monsters 2 for Sega Genesis. There's a robot fighter available in that game as well.
Mechagodzilla?
No. I actually forget his name. So forgive me, retro gaming community that can't tolerate mistakes and gaps in our knowledge, but I can't remember the name.
Where's our fact checker when we need him?
Right?
Yeah, don't worry. I can't remember dates for shit, so I mean that's my big thing when it comes to retro games. It's like, what year did that come out? I don't know. I'm not even gonna try. 86. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good enough. 86, that's a good year. Super Mario Brothers, that's all you need.
Nice.
I'm looking forward, though, to the podcast page. I hope we get comments of all your favorite robot games, listeners. So please, stuff the page with robot games.
Yeah, because obviously we're really proving our competence here with the 8 robot games.
Hey, we
Robotron!
Did... It's about the quality of the games, not the quantity. I think we did pretty
very
good.
Very true.
Well, thanks for asking, Mr. Time puncher robot. Good work.
Oh, dude, he punches time. I wonder what happens when you punch time.
He punches time's face right in the mouth. Ain't nobody got time for that.
It's gotta hurt.
You guys ready for a music break?
Breaking for music.
Do the robot.
The stage is set. The green flag drops. We'll be right back.
And we're back. That was Lil 500 by ISV. Something to give you some energy today. And speaking of energy, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those of you who don't know, this is where each of us has picked a retro game secretly from the others. And we're going to have a 1 minute to introduce it and then argue about who picked the best one. But the best thing about it is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite on the podcast page. So make sure you do that after listening, and hopefully one of our arguments will sway you. Now, normally, Jason is our resident timekeeper for the 1 minute intro. I'm going to go ahead and do that tonight. So I ask you, Hunter, Ryan, do either of you particularly want to go first?
The silence says it all.
Well, Ryan just broke it, so I guess Ryan, the new guy, is going first. You ready, Ryan?
Most certainly.
And go.
The game I have chosen is Treasure of the Rudris, a Squaresoft not-so-classic as we didn't get it over here. It was released in 1997, late in the Super Nintendo's lifetime, but it brought some revolutionary game mechanics to the table. The ability to write your own spells with the Grimoire, the multiple storylines, beautiful sprites for the 16-bit era, because since it was so late in the lifeline of the Super Nintendo, everything was very well done. They knew what they were doing. Sadly, we didn't get it localized, but there is a ROM translation out there, so get it, play it. It's fantastic. The music is composed by the guy who did Mystic Quest. I believe his name is Ryuji Sasai. Really great soundtrack. The storyline's fantastic. Very involved. Well worth your time. If you like any of the 16-bit RPGs, it's definitely worth a playthrough.
All right. Cool. Sounds good to me. Hunter, you ready? Hunter?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Get off of Steam. Okay.
I can't help it. All right, hold on. All right, I'm closing out Windows. Windows are being closed. Wait, that one's on sale? No. Closing out. Okay.
Sweet kidneys of Christ.
I am ready. I've never bought anything on Steam before. This is the first time.
Oh, that's exciting for you. I'm happy for you.
Steam. Whatever. Let's do this.
Okay, and go.
All right. My pick for this week's Retro Showdown is Ninja Warriors for the Super NES. Released in 1994. Ninja Warriors is a side-scroller beating 'em up where you get to pick between three different androids, each with very different attack styles, attributes, so that you may battle your way through an onslaught of enemies under the direction of a tyrant known as Banglar. Included in this excellent beat-em-up action. What?
Yeah, 45 seconds.
Are you serious?
Yep. That's plenty of time. Keep going.
All right. Included in this excellent beat-em-up action game, you also have the power bar that, when upon being a fool, unleashes an end-all attack to everything on the screen. Beautiful visuals, great soundtrack, and an awesome beat-em-up gives fun to you as the Ninja Warriors. Almost as good as Final Fight. Nowhere near as good as Streets of Rage, but almost as good as Final
Three
Fight.
3 seconds.
Ninja Warriors!
Perfect.
Well said. Well said about Streets of Rage there. Much appreciation for that.
Yeah, you just won the whole showdown right there. Streets of Rage votes.
Yeah, Ninja Warrior, Streets of Rage.
All right, suppose I'm gonna go ahead and time myself. If you guys can trust me, maybe you can't. Maybe you can. Maybe.
I don't trust you.
We'll see, Brian.
You'll just have to count on your own then. But I'm gonna start it up for me. Here we go. All right, my game tonight is from 1995. Red Alarm for the Virtual Boy. If you're unfamiliar with the Virtual Boy, it enabled gameplay in stereoscopic 3D. In this case, gameplay takes place in a full 3D environment. And this is a space shooter. I mean, it's basically Star Fox in 3D. You have cannons, you have lock-on missiles, you have boss fights, you have bonus stages. It's set 70 years in the future. Did I mention it's basically Star Fox in 3D? 20 seconds left, I'm going to leave it there. Boom.
Another good choice.
No.
Yes.
No,
Red Alarm was good. I mean, yeah, you get a, you know, painstaking migraine after a few minutes of play, but that's just the Virtual Boy's fault.
You have to understand something about the Virtual Boy. You need to
preemptively take 800 milligrams of Excedrin, and you're good to go.
No, you just need to be healthy, fit, and flexible, and take a minute to find a comfortable resting position. Too many people just think they can, you know, go upside down or, like, bend their back the whole time. No, just find a comfortable spot. Get comfortable. Like, take your time. Really get in there, and you'll be fine. You can play for hours.
And be sure you have, like, a full Tupperware bin of batteries.
Well, you know, electricity takes batteries. What are you going to do?
This is awful.
It's not. It's fun, Hunter.
Everything
fun
is a wireframe.
Wireframe is cool. I like wireframes.
Not when the entire environment is a wireframe. How can you even tell where you're going?
Admittedly, it does get a little muddled from time to time.
No, but see, when you actually play in the authentic Virtual Boy experience, the three dimensions makes it very clear. Like, it really adds depth perception. You can tell how far away stuff is and where to go and what's a gap and what's a wall. You got to really play it on Virtual Boy to understand, Hunter.
No, I don't. I can just watch this and realize that it's terrible.
Are you watching in three dimensions?
Yeah, I am.
Well, is the video three-dimensional?
I am three-dimensional. Hey, there's robots in it.
There are robots. I didn't want to say anything.
Oh, Red Alarm.
I didn't want to say anything.
I also like Red Alarm for robot games. I'm going to add that in there.
There you go. Because there's giant robots you have to shoot down. They blow up, and it's sweet.
Joey has this game and a Virtual Boy in the next room over. So now I'm going to have to play it after this is done.
No, don't do that to yourself.
See, I...
No, I know.
I already have his
vote.
Yeah,
I know. I'll have a terrible headache. No biggie.
It's two votes for me right there. Retro Rampage, guys.
You're not voting for yourself. You never do.
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah.
But, okay, wait. What was... Ryan, what was your game called?
Treasure of the Rudris. Or Rudra no Hihu. Don't quote me on my Japanese.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Treasure of the Rudra no Hihu. Okay, got it. Got it. Cool. Thanks. So wait. When you write your own spells, do they have to be in Japanese?
In the original game, yes. But in the translation, it's all standard U.S. characters. And, like, what's cool about it is, like, the NPCs give you hints as to, like, what prefixes do what. They'll say, like, oh, these two letters let you heal people. And then they'll be like, oh, if you put these two letters at the end, it makes it work on your whole party. So, like, you can actually just learn the prefixes and suffixes and write your own spells. I mean, you can put in any words you want. You can put in the word poop, and it'll probably make an earth-based spell that hits, like, one enemy.
Okay, so it's like an English class. If I'm working with prefixes and suffixes, that's just like English.
Yeah, essentially. But like, yeah, there's a certain syntax that the spells follow, and like, you can make more powerful ones. You can make like lower end ones that hit like all enemies, or like a really powerful one that hits a single enemy. You can make like party heals and stuff. It's actually really cool. I mean, sadly, the day of the internet kind of ruins it, because you can just go online and be like, oh, I need a spell that does this, and Google it. But
you don't have to do that.
If you want a richer experience, I definitely recommend just playing it with no extra guidance.
Well, I'm just curious, though. Do you ever just learn a healing spell, or do you have to figure out how to write it if you want to know it? I mean, it sounds interesting, but it could also be really impractical and inconvenient.
The game pretty much...
It sucked.
There are certain points where it ensures that you learn a spell. Like a new party member will be like, hey, you can use this spell, and like they'll tell you the word, and you just inscribe it in your grimoire.
Oh.
And then you can use it whenever the hell you want.
So rather than encourage creativity, it just adds tedium to the process.
Yeah, like, why would I even want to do that then? Like, why would I want to create spells when somebody could just tell me what the spell is?
Just give me the friggin'
spell. Well, because you got to remember, how many letters are in the English language? How many different combinations are there? You can literally make spells that aren't even necessarily, like, you know, considered like a spell in the game. Like, you can make whatever the hell you want. So it's actually pretty interesting, because once you learn, like, what's earth, what's fire, what's dark, what's, you know, what's healing and stuff, you can choose, like, how much to heal for, and, you know, who to heal, whether it's all party members or a single person. And then on top of that, there's different levels of strength. So, like, you could have a prefix that deals earth damage, but it could be really weak. And then later on, you could find something that deals, like, you know, much more damage. I thought it was really cool. And then there's multiple storylines that you can switch through at any given moment. Like, you can play a quarter of the way through one of them and say, you know what, I'm going to play a different one now. And then at the end, they all converge, kind of like what Live Alive did.
If I understand correctly, though, you can't just type in words you like or cool words and expect them to have
a good result.
But they're going to be crap usually, right?
Strangely enough, I mean, I've put in, of course, you know, I have the mind of a child. You know, I put in all kinds of vulgarities, and some of them actually yielded pretty cool results. And what's cool is if the spell doesn't use, like, any of the, like, hard-coded, like, prefixes or suffixes, it just prints the word on the screen. Like, they invoke the spell and it says the word, so it'll just be like shit right on the game screen.
All right, fair enough.
And it's definitely worth a play.
It still may not be.
Well, no, I think it's probably worth a play. It's probably not worth a vote, but it's definitely worth a playthrough.
it's definitely worth a vote.
Oh, you know what, guys? I forgot to mention who won two episodes ago.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, cool.
But it was you.
No, it was our first tie. The
really?
Punisher and the Super Spy, me and Hunter, beat Snake on the Nokia phone.
Who didn't see that coming? I mean, come on. How many votes did Snake get?
Yeah, come on.
Seven, right?
What, did Jason seven vote people. Seven times?
Maybe. He does work in IT. He probably has seven different computers he could vote at.
Well, I'll just change the IP address.
Vote. Suckers.
And he still lost.
PC gaming forever.
That's...
Yeah, it's like my Jason
that's
impression.
Terrible. It doesn't sound anything like him.
All right, fine. Those
yeah,
are the results.
That impression really invoked that Canadian spirit, you know?
Yeah, you forgot A.
Yes. PC gaming. A?
I'm sorry.
I don't know. Maybe it's... So, I'm still convinced this whole making your own spell thing. So...
I know, it's like the most fascinating yet awful concept
It sounds really neat. So, if you can literally make any... spell essentially that you want that the game might not even have like in a library of text somewhere, does the animation change? Or like if I you know call if-
no like I like I said when you when if you use like if you made the spell derp, like if that's not a spell that the game recognizes, it literally prints the word derp like in big red sprite font, like in the middle of the battle. It just says like derp. You cast derp and deal, you know, whatever damage you want.
Oh, so it's not even an accompanying animation. The word is all you got.
Yeah, like, you know, what they do is they kind of use, like, the FF6 animation. Like, your person comes out, throws their arms up, and then they're just like, derp! And then your spell gets cast. If you like 16-bit RPGs or are a fan of Squaresoft, need to specify Squaresoft, not Squeenix. It's definitely worth your time.
Alright. Yeah, I don't know.
And it won't give you a horrible migraine after 5 minutes of play, so...
You're flying around not even knowing what's going on.
Hey, I can't account for intelligence, okay? If you don't know what's going on, you just need to pay more attention.
It's not a matter of intelligence. It's a matter of the fact that looking at the screen, it looks like Super Nintendo's Andross vomited into a bucket of red paint and hurled it onto your eyes.
I know, that's what makes him such a good villain. That's why it's Star Fox in 3D. You gotta kill him for that, man.
You've got to quit saying that.
Gotta quit saying what? Andross is
not
a terrible villain?
It is not Star Fox in 3D. Please stop.
The
game's not even...
Essentially.
The Virtual Boy's not even 3D.
It is. It's
no, just
3D
because it
than...
shows depth. An NES game can show depth.
No,
it looks
like
way
Racer,
better than black
Rad
and
Racer,
red.
3D World Runner. They had the stereoscopic 3D. But it's not actual 3D.
But you don't need separate glasses, though, for the Virtual Boy. It's in the Virtual Boy. It's got the whole third dimension tucked right in there, man.
Even use the second joypad on this game. Why have it, then? Why have it?
It's superfluous.
Why?
If you don't need something, it doesn't mean it's bad. It's okay.
Did you ever use like the joystick and the control pad on the 64 together at once?
Yeah.
When?
You know.
GoldenEye.
Once upon a time.
GoldenEye. Because the D-pad was strafe by default.
Yeah, but you're not going to be going back and forth. No, those were the C buttons.
But the D-pad was also strafe. And then up and down where I think move forward and backward. But like, yeah, you could use them. I'm left-handed, so you know, when I was like a fetus and I was playing GoldenEye, yeah, that's how I did it.
You got what? You got electricity in there? How'd that work out?
It worked out great. I was playing GoldenEye, for Christ's sake.
So there you go. Okay. Well,
in the womb. You just call Ryan Womb Raider.
Wow.
This episode of One More Podcastle was filmed in front of a live studio ostrich.
Just one. He's really quiet.
Just one. Why do I find that fun?
Family Guy reference.
What is wrong with me? I'm just thinking of one ostrich staring at me.
The lone ostrich in the stadium seating.
That's the game I should have picked. The lone ostrich. Better than Ninja Warriors, that's for sure.
I don't know, man.
No, it's Ninja Warriors is great. Almost as good as Final Fight. Nowhere
See,
near
you
as
you heard
good
it from Hunter
Street.
Himself. He just named two games that his game is clearly not nearly as good as. He's basically saying his game is the worst. The worst.
Out of those two games, yeah, but better than your guys' games.
No!
Way better than Red Alert.
No!
Red Alert. No game on the Virtual Boy is ever going to be a good game. Like, So
Mario Clash?
No, you know what says it?
Mario
How
tennis?
Many games are in the Virtual Boy's library?
Like 12?
14 12. In the U.S., thank you
Ooh.
Very much. 14, guys.
Ooh, 14. Hot damn.
I think the Apple Bandai Pippin had like 20, didn't it?
Hey, when your games are too awesome for human beings to handle, you can only release so many.
No, they're too pain-inducing for human beings to handle.
I'm just curious, like... So this guy really thought, when he was inventing the Virtual Boy, he really thought this was going to be it. So you're telling me that nobody along the line was going to be like, look, this thing's a piece of crap. Like, we're gonna charge how much?
I can see it right now. Dude, check this out. Huh. This thing's in 3D. This thing is going to be the next big thing. We might as well stop making a Nintendo right now. Virtual Boy. Let's do it. Who's with me?
$300.
We're done.
It was only $170 at release. It's actually a pretty good deal for you guys.
And that's an eye gouge. That is an eye gouge. What was it, 50% off?
And when you figure that times money, that's, you know, that's a hell of a lot more.
But you know what
sounds.
I'm saying, though? Like, how do you go through a complete construction timeline with something that big and nobody steps up to you and just says, this thing's not going to work out. Like, look, we got people getting headaches. I can't see where I'm flying because it's all black and red and it looks like a hole, but it's not. It happens to be a wall, but I can't tell because it looks like crap. You really think this is going to work? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And like
yeah.
That whole, like, they're like, dude, this totally is not Star Fox in 3D. Like, how is this thing going to sell? Like, yeah, I don't get that either.
They're all going to laugh at you when this comes out.
Yeah, that thing was...
They're all going to laugh at you!
You guys are mean. I thought it was pretty cool. I like Star Fox personally, but some of you guys
are
haters.
The virtual,
yeah, I love
the virtual
Star
Boy
Fox,
is cool
but this has nothing
because,
to do with it.
Because Star Fox in 3D. It's a failure. It's not!
It's not. It's nowhere near...
Come on, guys.
Listen,
even Star Fox in 3D isn't Star Fox in 3D.
Okay, okay. You know what, Hunter? I am tired of you consistently picking boring, repetitive, tedious beat-em-ups that utilize nothing but palette swaps for enemies that you have to grind through over a period of 90 minutes to ever have hope of getting to the fruitless ending.
Wait, this is the first one I've ever picked?
Nuh-uh, you've picked other ones.
Like, what? What?
Me and Jason make fun of you all the time for this.
You just make fun of me all the time, not for anything in particular, just all the time.
You just haven't been listening.
No, listen, beat-em-ups have intrinsic joy. You get
Don't defend him.
No, listen, I understand that it's a bunch of palette swaps. You know, in Streets of Rage, you got R light, you know, G light, Y light, purple light, whatever. And then you got Donovan, and then you've got his green cousin, Merle, you know, whatever. It's
Merle.
Yeah, it's fun because you get to beat the shit out of a bunch of people. It's like, you know, what's the thought process? Axel, oh yeah, Mr. X, he wronged me somehow, so I'm just going to go tear apart this entire city with a chick in a skimpy outfit. And then in level 6, I'm going to turn around and beat the piss out of her.
Okay, but I like beat-em-ups, and I can name some of my all-time favorite games as beat-em-ups, but I'm saying Ninja Warriors is among the most mind-numbingly repetitive. I would get a headache from Ninja Warriors sooner than I would get a headache from Metal Arm, guaranteed.
And that there, kids, is a story, because that's not true. The Virtual Boy.
Yeah, that's impossible.
The Virtual Boy will melt your brain before you get any kind of damage from playing a beat-em-up.
You just gotta find a comfortable sitting position. You gotta have the desk at the right height.
So what you're saying is
I have to put the shoe on your head.
Is I have to invest hundreds of dollars into this ergonomic contraption that looks like something out of a Nine Inch Nails video in order to be comfortable enough to play the Virtual Boy.
You just have to invest 30 seconds in actually doing something about your ergonomics.
Yeah, hi, Trent Reznor. Do you have any props from Happiness and Slavery that I can use to play my Virtual Boy?
Or you could just pop in Ninja Warriors in your Super NES, turn the TV on, and have a go of a time.
Well, at least we agree that Ninja Warriors or Red Alarm is still better than Treasure of the Rudra no Hiho.
Nope.
Hiho. Nope. Hiho.
Well, nobody knows. Nobody's played this game. Nobody. Nobody has played this game.
But
that is exactly why I brought it up, because no one's played it. We didn't get it in the States.
For good reason.
The good reason was that it came out in 1997. Square was like, we're going to be making PS1 games in like a week. So they're like, we're not going to spend all the time and money localizing it for the poor Americans. We're going to keep it over here, and that's it. So we had to wait until 2006, until we got a fan translation. But it was worth the wait. It's a solid 16-bit JRPG. And it's a JRPG in the strictest sense.
But if I want to play this game, I have to play it on an emulator. I want to play on original hardware.
If you want to play on the original hardware, go online, buy the Super Famicom version, take the tabs out of your Super NES, and enjoy.
I will never do that to my Super NES.
Do it. You won't.
That's like brutally murdering my Super NES. Those tabs are there for a reason, my friend.
Nah, I'm a purist myself. Like, you know, I see these people that, like, paint their consoles, and it's like, ugh.
It's discolored for a reason. That's how it wanted to be.
Like, I love my gray and purple box, man. Leave it that way. Although I am envious of the PAL SNES controller.
The colors, yeah,
the colors are badass, but
I did.
Well, I will say this to you. Interact actually brought out a PAL looking Super NES controller. Hold on.
I had one of those. Of
to eBay.
Well, no, I got it saved somewhere.
You save your controllers on your computer?
Well, I got a list of games that I want to buy, and then below that list it says hardware, and it is the SuperPad Super NES controller by Interact.
So is Treasure of the Rudra no Hiho on your list of games you want to buy, Hunter?
No, I can't buy it.
Okay,
you just
can illegally download it.
Listeners, listen.
I can pirate the game.
Hunter.
Listen, I'm not telling you to pirate the game. I'm not telling you to pirate the game because I am not going to suggest that you download an emulator. And I will not suggest that you download the pre-patched ROM. And I will not advise you to open up that ROM with the previously downloaded emulator. I will not inform you to plug in your favorite USB controller and set your controls and enjoy it thoroughly. I will not advise that, as it is illegal.
Got it.
But I do have Pierre Soler on here, so I'm pretty for the Dreamcast.
I'm getting the PC version, the high def re-release.
Yeah, that game is kind of like a shut up and take my money kind of thing. Like, yeah. I saw the Kickstarter for the Dreamcast version. I'm like, yep, that's gotta happen.
I will wait.
But listeners, I just wanted to point out, Hunter is so great at knowing like what obscure 16-bit games to have and to play. So for him not to give a vote of confidence to Treasure of the Rudra no Hiho says a lot.
Shows his ignorance.
Whoa! Hunter is very knowledgeable, my friend.
No, he is. You guys both are.
Well, then why are you calling him ignorant? Yeah, you did.
Because I need more votes.
I bet you did, Ryan.
No, I'm totally going to play this game.
Yes.
What?
I'm going to go and buy a PAL system and then one of those convert to U.S. electricity outlet thingamajigs and then...
Let me ask a theoretical question for both of you. Let's say you had an extra Super Nintendo console. You have the one that's reliable, you play on it, but you have a second one. Would you be okay with removing the tabs from that and giving it a paint job? Would that change things?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I would remove the tabs from it. I probably wouldn't paint it because that's just not my thing.
Okay, cool.
But
modding it, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I bought two Dreamcasts just so I can... put a mod chip in one of them.
Oh, the Dreamcast is like the mod machine.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Cool. I was just curious.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those... Like, yeah, I've seen tons of really cool paint jobs online of, like, old retro consoles. I mean, I have no talent at all in anything, ever.
I am a talentless waste that barely contributes to society. But these guys do really good paint jobs.
They are excellent paint jobs, and I am envious as all get out. But I would more likely save up money to buy one of those paint jobs than actually do it.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Because I know I'm just going to screw it up, and then I'm just going to be pissed at myself the entire time.
Amen, brother. Preach it. I hear you. I'm right there with you.
And I'm just not going to do that.
Cool. Well, let me ask you guys, how far in the future do your games take place?
Well, I've got Androids.
So like 20?
So 30... 300, 400 years.
No, not that much.
Well, let's find out. I'm sure it's on here somewhere. I think you want to do this. 70 years into the future. 70 years on top of what? Right now? And then a year from now, it's still 70 years? And then it's still 70 years?
That's right.
And then it's still 70 years?
It's a time warp. It's a space shooter. It's Red Alarm.
It's astounding.
Lee Good.
Nope.
Is a word you'll never say while playing it.
Rundrus doesn't take place in any particular time period relative to our own, but it does take place over the process of 15 days. And
it just says it's in the future.
Yeah. So says Ninja Warriors also takes place over the process of 15 days of playing it.
No.
Yeah, it does. It's a long game.
Christ.
Ninja Warriors. True. Yeah, it's a grind, man. That is not a short game.
No, you know what? Games aren't short. I'm going to shamelessly plug our YouTube channel again. We just did an episode on Rushing Beat Shura, the Japanese version of the horrible westernized The Peacekeepers. It's a longer beat-em-up, but it's very satisfying. Great music, really nice big sprites, very well done. And there is actually a lot of enemy variety in that game. It's not just palette swaps. I mean, yeah, they're present because... they had to be, but it's actually there's actually a lot of variety to the enemies, and it's a really solid beat 'em up.
Cool.
1 hour and 8 minutes to beat Ninja Warriors. That's the time to beat.
All right. See, I'm just saying, if I want to relax and play a mindless game of the same thing over and over again, I don't want to spend an hour doing it. If I want to spend a long time playing a game, I'll stick to Dragon Warrior 3.
Why?
That's fun.
Nah.
All right, fine.
Wait a second.
You got something? You got one more thing to add?
What the hell is your stupid game called again? Treasure of the what?
Treasure of the Rudras.
Rud. Jeez.
Rudras.
Can't even... Why couldn't they just thought of a better name?
That too. Because that game...
It's Square.
No,
what do you
no,
expect?
No, listen. Listen, the
better.
The staff...
So much better. Have you played Final Fantasy?
Oh, amen. The staff at Treasure of the Red Rift doesn't know how to write. That's why they make the players do it. They don't even know how to write their own spells. Yes, yes, yes. You said yourself, it makes you write spells. And the name's not good, so...
But the whole point of it is that you get to write your own spells. It was innovative. It was forward thinking. In a time where everything was very generic.
Yes, because that really took off, right? That's the big trend now, writing your own spells.
I do it in my spare time.
You want to know what the time to beat is for Treasure of the Redress?
What's that?
No times submitted. Because nobody has ever played this game.
Only people in
There's
Japan
actually
have played
more
it.
Votes for the Mac version than the Super NES version.
Wow.
Mac version? Good lord.
That's what it says.
See, that's staff.
2-1. It's 2-1, and Mac is winning.
I trust not your sources.
If you want to talk about an oxymoron, a Mac gamer is it.
Well said, well said.
Boom!
But I didn't know for the showdown it was going to be like, think of the most common game you can think of.
Oh no, you got that part right. You picked an obscure game. I mean, I picked a Virtual Boy game that hardly anyone has. That you got that part right. What you got wrong was picking
Listen,
a good game.
No, it is a good game. You have to give it a chance though. What I will say is this. Even if it doesn't win the showdown, as long as it reaches out to somebody and convinces them, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot, then my mission is done. All I want to do is spread the word of overlooked, obscure-ass games.
Are you washing your hands?
No, but there is a sink in the background.
Okay. I was like, wow, this is impressive. He's washing his hands and slamming Bailey. This is very impressive.
Dude, my microphone cord is so long.
Hey. As long as you wash your
hands. Yeah, please wash your hands afterwards.
Okay, Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park.
Oh, I got that reference. I got that. That's what he's talking about. Yes, yeah, because he has a water drop on the back of his hand, remember?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, see. Now that we're on Jurassic Park, we're far enough off topic. Let's go final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone listening vote for your game in the Retro Showdown poll on the podcast page?
You should vote for Ninja Warriors because it is not a bland beat-em-up. It's an interesting, fun beat-em-up that everybody should play because there's androids in it and robots.
Huh. All right, new guy, Ryan, our special guest. Why should anyone vote for your game in the Retro Showdown poll?
Well, the first reason is for what you just said. I'm the guest. Come on. Second, it's got an innovative magic system. It's got very nice, clean sprites. It's a pleasure to look at. The combat system is great. The animations are absolutely incredible. The storyline's solid. The music is solid. It's an all-round good JRPG from Square back when they, made good games.
And as for my part, I will say vote for Red Alarm on the podcast page in the Retro Showdown poll because it's basically Star Fox in 3D.
Oh my god, no it is not.
Will you quit saying that?
It is not.
Quit lying to the audience.
Not lying.
What is going to happen to the next generation of retro gamers if they come into being thinking that Red Alarm is basically Star Fox in 3D?
They are going to enjoy
That's
it
when,
and it's going to be wonderful.
No, what's going to happen is 15 years from now, there's going to be another group of three people. And one of them's going to go, no, man, Final Fantasy 13 is basically Final Fantasy 6 just in 3D. And
that's a really good point.
And that, my friends, is going to be the end of the world.
We'll be dead way before then.
Thank God.
15. Whatever. I want to give a quick shout out to Ben Landis for the intro and outro tracks and to our interlude artist, ISV, for the track use. You can download that track on the podcast page. Special thanks to Ryan for putting up with us and coming onto the show in Jason's absence and having fun. And Ryan, if you'd like, are there any shout-outs you'd like to give?
I'd like to obviously give a shout-out to my co-host. I'd like to give a shout-out to my wonderful girlfriend for putting up with me and my horrible retro gaming habit. And that's pretty much it. Anyone else who watches the show, big thanks. Obviously, you're here at One More Castle, so keep checking out these guys. They're awesome.
Aw, thanks. How about you, Hunter?
You can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter and that's it.
You can also find him buying shit on Steam now that he's now that he's no longer a Steam virgin.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I bought my first game on I bought my first games on Steam. I spent $300.
It's just 30.
Same thing, whatever.
God. Better double check that decimal place. Incomplete
well,
pack.
Soon you can find him on Twitter and Steam if you want, I guess. As for me, if you really want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at Nintendo_Legend. And it is true, I'm currently playing through Dragon Warrior 3 and live tweeting my experiences. And other than that, I want to give a secret shout out to a few people out there I won't name, but whose identities will become clear in the coming weeks. I'm going to leave it at that. And with that, thanks for listening, everyone out there. Remember to vote in the Retro Showdown poll, leave comments on the podcast page, and spread the word of One More Podcastle, because remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!